Welcome back, everybody, to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. I'm going to tell you about what's going on here at the Comedy Castle this week and about this show that you're about to hear. A little bit of a different show, maybe, than we normally do, but we'll explain why, and I think you'll understand, and I think you'll enjoy this fine interview that I did with Tim Finkel today. It's a little bit of a different week this week because we have our headliner, Ryan Davis, appearing only on Friday and Saturday this week. We have a special headliner on Thursday. That is Tim Finkel, who we will talk to on this show. And we got an open mic on Wednesday. So let's just start with open mic. Open mic. Let's do that one. All right. Open mic. Wednesday night, 7:30. A bunch of fun new comedians and some veterans who are working on stuff. Some young people just making a name for themselves in this stand-up comedy thing. They appear at our open mic night. It's at 7:30, and it's a real fun night. Everybody does about 5 minutes, and you'll have a good time. You can just walk in and buy a ticket, or you can call the club for a reservation. That's open mic night, Wednesday. And then, of course, Thursday, Tim Finkel. We'll talk more about Tim in a minute. As of this recording, let me just try to buy a ticket for Thursday. I will attempt to buy a ticket. But that doesn't do any good if I say there's tickets available. There's one ticket at table 17 as I'm recording this. So who knows? There may be more tickets opening up. There may be people who can't make it and, you know, those tickets open up. There may be tickets available at the door. Probably not. But it is a big show. We'll explain that as we go through this show. Talking to you, we'll understand why this night means a lot to Tim, and it means a lot to everyone at the Comedy Castle and in comedy in general. All right. And then our headliner, Ryan Davis, comes in for Friday and Saturday night. On Friday the 17th, we've got a show at 7:15 p.m. and a late show at 9:45. Saturday, we have shows at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Saturday night for you. I love Ryan. He's a great comic. I've never interviewed him. I don't think he's ever been on this show. One of the things about Ryan that you may know him from is he's the guy, he got famous on social media, just talking a bunch of junk into his phone. He would find celebrities or dumb stuff in the news or funny things to talk about that were happening in the world that people knew about, and he would go give a little rant about it, a little funny rant. Staring right into the camera. It was very entertaining. He got millions of followers on Facebook and other platforms. And, of course, he's turned that into a full-time stand-up comedy career now. He has toured all over the country. He's played with some of the biggest names. He's headlined our club a couple years ago. And he's back. I have interviewed Ryan. It just wasn't on this show. I interviewed Ryan on Mike Bonner's show on 9:10 a.m. in Detroit. We had Ryan there, believe, on a Tuesday night or something for a one-nighter, and thought he was a cool guy, invited him out to the radio station, and he did a nice interview with him over at 9:10 a.m. No idea where those shows exist. 9:10 a.m. isn't even what it used to be anyway. It's not even a talk station anymore. I don't really know, but I enjoyed talking to him on that show. So I do know a lot about Ryan. He was at the club. He did a great job a couple weeks ago. So if you want any of those tickets for Ryan, they are available over at comedycastle.com. And yes, the Detroit Lions play at 8 p.m. on Saturday the 18th. So if you're looking to see Ryan and you're a Lions fan, maybe you do the Friday night. All right? There's my advice. Or you could sit in the showroom and have your phone out and be watching on some streaming thing. But you know what? That's annoying. We'd prefer you didn't do it. We try to have people not do that and ask them to turn the phones off if that is the situation that is happening. But it does happen. Have I watched a Lions game on my phone while I'm at work in the showroom? Probably. So we see the folks in the audience doing it, and we know that. So if you want to come out and see Ryan Friday and Saturday, those are the nights for you. But let's talk about Tim Finkel here. Let's get into him and his story, which he will tell his story on this show. That was the purpose of this show. And you'll hear me say that in the interview. I said, look, I usually get the headliner. We're trying to sell tickets to the Comedy Castle. The headliner's got four shows. You got one. Matter of fact, your show sold out, except for that single ticket at table 17, which is a great table. So maybe go buy that. Stop doing this, or while you're doing it, go over to comedycastle.com, try to grab that one. But it's just important. You know, Tim was my student. Tim has always been a very funny dude. He has always been great on stage, great energy, super likable. He's got a great smile. I'm staring at him smiling at me from the Comedy Castle website as I do this. And just one of the nicest guys. You know, that comes up in the interview as well. One of the good guys. Again, he kind of like Brad Wenzel a few weeks ago, where he's was good since he started. He's had a lot of success just being funny and being a good dude. And that means a lot in this business. And, you know, there are people that are funny that aren't great guys or great girls, great people. And they don't necessarily get the amount of work that other people get. And a lot of new comedians, they think that's unfair, but they don't realize that's the business. If someone's going to say, hey, come work this comedy club, and you got to be there for 3 days and five shows or whatever it is. And some of these clubs are four nights. You know, you want somebody that's nice to be around. That's pleasant. That's not a jerk. So that's why Tim Finkel has had a lot of his success. And of course, as will come up in this interview, Tim is struggling with his son's medical condition. It is, I believe, a rare form of cancer. Tim explains it all in the interview. And for the last almost year and a half now, he's been dealing with that situation and his son's health. Ryder, and we talk a lot about it. I'm not going to lie. I cried during this interview more than once. I don't know how much you'll hear that. I tried to minimize that. I didn't want to make Tim cry. I was trying to turn my mic down as he was speaking, and you wouldn't hear me bawling. But it does happen. I know I cried about Norm Stoltz when he passed away. And, of course, we talk about Norm Stoltz in this interview as well. So that didn't help. we talk about his teen comedy class that happened. And my experience teaching that, which was not great. I tried. I really tried. Didn't go great for me. Was it the kids' fault? Yeah, a little bit. Was it my fault? Yeah, probably a little more than that. but we're just excited to have Tim out at the club. We know that headlining is a big deal for any person that gets started in stand-up comedy. And headlining the Comedy Castle, the place, first place that, you know, Tim started in the comedy classes. You'll hear that story. And, you know, to go from comedy class to headlining is a big deal. And, you know, so many folks have done it recently. You've heard them on this show, Melanie Hearn and Cam Rowe and Dan Britton a couple weeks ago. And then now it's Tim's turn. It's just Thursday, but it means a lot. It means a lot to him. It means a lot to us. And I really enjoyed this interview. So let's just go to that, and we'll come back, talk a little bit more after that. All right? All right? Let's go. Here's Tim Finkel. All right, ladies and gentlemen on the other end of my line, I'm proud to say that headlining this week is Tim Finkel. Tim, welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast.
Thank you so much, Joel. I'm thrilled and honored to be here.
Yeah, well, you've been interviewed before. Tom McCarthy interviewed you a couple times, and when I was going through our archives. But, you know, this is for headlining. This is the big one. This is what every comic works towards their career. Sure. If you start comedy in Michigan, you go, I want to headline the Comedy Castle. And finally, it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't, you know, I'm not like a goal-oriented guy, I guess, when it comes to comedy, other than, you know, making people laugh as best as I can. But it was always a goal of mine since I started to headline the castle. And that seemed light years away when I started. And now that it's here, I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah. Now, because I know I met you, you took my advanced comedy class years and years ago now, but what were the origins for you with stand-up comedy? Did you always want to do stand-up? Where were you in your life where you said, I'm going to go try that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny kind of that everything has come full circle here, because I'd always been a huge fan of comedy. I didn't know, like, how you started. I didn't know the process of it. I didn't know you could just decide to start doing comedy and do it. And my wife had bought me a class one year.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit of a caveat to that. I kind of came into comedy through tragedy. I had an older brother who passed away unexpectedly on my 30th birthday 16 years ago. And my wife never really kind of knew how to approach my birthday after that, but she knew like I was a huge fan of comedy. So I didn't know who Bill Bouchard was. I didn't know that there's a comedy class at Mark Ridley's. We had been there several times. But one morning, the day of my birthday, she gave me a little envelope. She said, keep the day open. I thought we were going to the zoo or something that I didn't really care for.
Yeah.
And she said, I signed you up for a stand-up 101 class. You got to leave for it in 2 hours, and it ends in a final performance. And it all snowballed from there. So it was, it's the greatest gift anyone's ever given me, and she has regretted it every day since then.
Well, I think, look, you did it with her blessing, so it's her fault in a sense. It's her fault.
Yeah,
it's her blessing.
And
it's all.
Yeah, yeah.
She created the monster. I mean,
she did, and she loves it. Yeah. I mean, she, she'll get tired of it from time to time, but for the most part, she appreciates that.
Yeah,
I have a passion for it.
We were having this talk the other day with some comics, and I said, if you're married and you start stand-up comedy, you might get away with it. Or no, it's like when you start, that's the hardest. If you're already in a relationship and you start stand-up comedy, I've seen so many guys, and you would know who, some of these guys too, right? They're married, they got a great life, kids, nice job, the whole thing, and they start doing stand-up, and it all goes away, and the stand-up remains. And it's sad. It's sad.
They sacrifice their entire life for a few dick jokes.
Yeah, and look, I mean, when you talk to them, they're loving it, they're having a great time, but it's like, man, and, you don't know, but I always say, like, hey, if you are an established comic and touring is part of your life and being out of the house all those nights a week is part of your life, and you meet somebody, well, then it's already part of your life. It's not like this new thing you're introducing to it.
Sure. And I mean, I can honestly say too that my entire act and all of that is in the context of my life and my family and all of that. And it's kind of a iron sharpens iron type of thing. Like all of that material and all of that comes from my real life. So without, without a fulfilling life, I don't know if I'm funny enough to be good at comedy outside of that.
Well, you'd have stories about going out with the boys, getting in bar fights. That'd be funny.
That's a great act, right?
Taco Bell drive-thru. Yeah. You'd have some jokes about that. Sure. Maybe throw some Tinder material in there, Tim. You'd have a nice solid act.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the business because I love you. But yeah, your act is it is family oriented, and it's hilarious. And that was the thing too with you. You were a teacher when you started doing stand-up comedy. Yeah. Did you feel like teaching helped you? That public speaking thing was an advantage, or made you feel a little more comfortable than some people as they start?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, teaching to a certain extent is certainly a performance. I taught high school, so I would have like repeat classes where, I had a teacher aide in my classroom, and he would always joke that like by the fourth hour that I've done the same lecture, he'd be like, you really killed it, that one. You're really getting that thought together and that sort of thing. So yeah, certainly standing in front of people talking. I mean, I will say that high school students definitely equip you to deal with some of the terrible rooms that you have to do when you first start doing comedy. Because they have the attention span of an open mic full of a room of people that didn't know they were going to see stand-up comedy that night.
Yeah, I think so. I think that is definitely people will tell you what's the toughest age to teach, but that's one you hear. Right. That's what you hear.
I think it's all hard. I mean, teaching is I come from a family of teachers. My wife is still an educator as well. And it is it's a very difficult career, and it only gets more difficult with, the digital environment we live in, we are competing against stimulus that we cannot match. I mean, you know, you fry a kid's brain from scrolling through TikTok all the time. It's hard to keep their attention in the front of a room.
Yeah, that is a challenge. I know that. And here's the thing. There's an anecdote that I tell sometimes, not on this show, but I think we'll tell it here because you're the guy that's responsible, at least for part of it. A few years ago, you made you pitched to the club, we should have a teen comedy class at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And in fact, you promoted it on this show with Tom at the time and stuff. And the class started, and unfortunately, you had to miss a session or two.
Yeah, I think I got COVID, and you covered it.
I think Bouchard covered the first time, and then I think I was roped in for the second one, and I was cool. I was like, oh, what a challenge. I've been teaching for a while. We'll teach these kids. Yeah. We'll have a good time, and here's what I did. This was my approach to it. This is where, and maybe I went wrong. You tell me. I didn't clear any of this with you. I didn't talk to, I went with my own instincts. I said, I'm going to win these kids over. Here's is what kids like. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a bunch of snacks. I bought all those little snack packs of cookies and, you know, chips and that kind of stuff. And I said, I'll win these kids over and then they'll like me and then they'll listen to what I say. So right at the top of the class, I brought out the snacks and said, guys, help yourself, get settled in. And it ended up where these kids were just whipping cookies at each other's heads. And generally misbehaving. And so it was not going to go well from the get go. It was, and that's my fault.
Yeah. I mean, you can feed a feral animal, but they're still going to be a feral animal.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then there was like a real swing in the ages of these kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it was one, I didn't believe it was like a high school age female, and she had like jokes about sex and things that were sort of, and I think there's a 9-year-old sitting there too. And it was like, it was a challenge.
Yeah. Youngest was 11.
I think, you know,
kind of warn the parents up front, you know, this is a wide age range. Right. You may, and, they were still willing to do that. I will be honest though, that, I learned a lot from that class it is a dream of mine to bring that back when I have a little bit of runway in my life where I have a little bit of time. But I did like recently quit my full-time job, and comedy is really my only gig at the moment. So, I have a lot more motivation to make that successful and build it now.
Yeah, I had lots of ideas on how to do it differently after I did it, but
yeah.
And of course, the irony in all of this, of that class, and you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this, the two most misbehaving children in there were the children of comedians. The absolute worst. And I love their parents, and I'd probably love these kids in another setting, but my goodness, did they make my life miserable.
Yeah.
And the names will not be said on this air. At least by me.
If you're listening, you know who you are.
If you know, you know. It's one of those things. So you think they'd have some, you think they'd have some respect for the craft. Not at all. But yeah, I mean, look, that's a challenge. I mean, come on, teaching teens comedy. But if they're into it, like I said, I enjoyed some of the sets that they did when they finally did them. But my goodness, the organization of it, I my lack of experience with teenagers clearly showed.
Yeah.
Teaching the teen comedy class. All right. So when you made the decision to, I mean, there was a point, I believe, that you gave up the teaching gig for some other job in education. That happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I went through a midlife crisis, and instead of like cheating on my wife or buying a sports car, I decided I wanted to switch industries. So, yeah, a few years ago, I got into higher ed publishing and doing college courseware and things like that.
Yeah.
And that went really well. Actually ended up recruiting another fellow comedian, Will Green, and we worked together for about a year till I got recruited by a competitor. And that was great. I loved doing that job. Another job that had a lot of presentations in it and things like that. So I was speaking to a large group of, you know, college professors, having to kind of BS my way through what I was talking about. And you certainly learn a lot of skills with that. But no, I recently decided to quit my job in September to focus on my son's treatment right now, which I'm sure we'll kind of get into as well. So,
yeah, I think, and you know, we plugged, because I was looking at my archives, and when we, I guess when this all sort of went down, we talked about it on this show and put up the link to the fundraiser, which we will do again, the GoFundMe, and I'll do that as well at Comedy Castle Podcast. But my goodness, what a shock for that to happen with your son Ryder. Just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, my son in October of 2023 was diagnosed with a very rare form of pediatric brain cancer called DIPG, which stands for diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. It is a where a tumor is growing in his brainstem. So it doesn't affect any cognitive function or anything like that. He's smarter than all of us still. But it does impact all of your motor function and speech and things like that. At the time we were, you know, we were told to expect, 12 months at best. The median survival rate is about 11 months for this diagnosis. And actually the day after my show this week will mark the 15 month anniversary of him being diagnosed. And
fantastic, and
currently he is he's beating his odds at the moment, and a lot of that is attributed to we've kept a very positive environment over the last 15 months, and there have been incredible advancements made really within the last 10 years for this diagnosis, which we're actually doing a documentary with Mitch Albom about right now.
Yeah.
So we've been filming that since last December. He adopted a little girl with DIPG from Haiti about 9 years ago, and wrote a memoir about her called Finding Chica. So they had reached out to us early on in the diagnosis and flew out from LA to meet with us. His nephew is the producer, and really liked our story. Really liked that I did stand up comedy and was an entertainer, and they'd come out and film some shows and that sort of thing. But we were a little hesitant at first to get involved with it, but we realized this can really shine a spotlight on this very rare form of cancer that unfortunately does not have a lot of research funding behind it, because there's only about 300 cases per year in the US, and that's a very small line item for anyone to want to solve that problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're doing everything we can do to, you know, not only focus on our own son, but also all the other children who are impacted by this as well.
Well, that's just terrific that Ryder's situation can help others potentially
is
terrific. And just, you know, being a little bit high profile is helpful too. Right. I mean, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a beautiful thing in terms of just between my wife and I, we've got to see like all of the relationships we've ever, you know, had in our lives through all the different walks of our lives, like kind of emerge from the woodwork, to provide support for our family. And, you know, as tragic as all of this has been, there has been a tremendous amount of beauty in all of it. And I often say that, you know, we're living the greatest year of our life while simultaneously living the worst year of our life. And I would say, you know, all things considered, I think we've made the best of our situation so far. And, you know, we work our asses off every day to make sure that we keep doing that.
Yeah, it's so hard, man. I know we've talked privately, you know, about this.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a nice talk at again, bad circumstances, but Norm Stoltz's funeral.
Yeah.
We had a nice talk, and I know Norm was What, Norm had cancer and passed away. I know I talked about him on the show right after the funeral or when he died anyway. But I know Norm was going through treatment with Ryder. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful. Last December, Norm's radiation schedule and Ryder's radiation schedule actually overlapped for 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, I would get to sit in the hospital with Norm and talk to him. And I would say during that time we had, you know, equal parts the hardest I've ever laughed in my life, yeah, and equal parts the hardest I've ever cried in my life. And I know that Norm was a source of inspiration for my son, and I know my son was a source of inspiration for Norm. And I can't really put into words how much I value all of the talk. I mean, I talk to Norm every single day for the last year. Yeah. And, you know, the full spectrum of emotions. And I really miss Norm dearly. There's been a few things that have happened in the last couple months where, like, I reached for my phone immediately to text Norm about it. And, yeah, definitely a big hole having him gone. Cam Rowe and I did a show on this past Friday, and some of his family members came out to the show, which was beautiful. Yeah. And they talked to us after the show and they said, you know, this is the first time we've ever seen a headliner that isn't our dad.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Norm always went last. No one wanted to follow Norm.
Yeah,
I remember we had some charity thing once at the castle, and it was all headliners, right? And they're a backstage, you know, the lineup wasn't, you know, everyone showed up and they figured out the lineup. And against his, you know, he was putting his foot down, going, I'm not closing this thing. And guess who ended up closing it? It
was he had an energy and a presence that was hard to match, that's for sure.
And probably the reputation of being the most generous, kindest man in comedy. I think that's fair to say. And I think most people would agree on that.
Yeah. And that was all so authentic, too. I mean, he was truly proud of, you know, the up and coming comics who he got to watch develop. And that shines through all the time.
Yeah. Well, there's a new the title of nicest, most beloved guy in comedy is open, Tim. So,
oh, there you go.
I mean, if it's between me and you, you're gonna win. So, how about everybody else? You and Cam can fight for it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, but again, you know, this whole journey and how it's, you know, affected comedy for you. You've got this this Thursday one-nighter at the Comedy Castle, but I believe there was a date that was on the books for you to actually do a headlining weekend at the club, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I had got the call up just like 3 weeks before Ryder was diagnosed, and you know how that is when you get that call, like you're just on cloud nine, and there's no better motivation that you can buy than knowing that you have a headline date on the horizon. And so yeah, I was supposed to do May of last year, and I also was, I think I was featuring on New Year's Eve last year, and I remember being at the hospital, and Bill texted me, and he said, just so you know, I did find someone else for New Year's Eve. I figured you would want that with everything going on, and I said, yeah, that's a good thing. And then I remember we were at the hospital, we were in blood draw. I remember it vividly. I remember sending him a text message saying, while you're at it, you may want to look for someone else in May, because I had no idea where we would be. And I remember sending that message and then just crying for like 30 minutes straight. And honestly, initially, I really thought, you know, after Ryder was diagnosed, I thought comedy was done for me. You know, I said that was very fun, but, you know, this is something bigger and grander. And something beautiful happened where the comedy community really kind of wrapped our family in love and started organizing benefit shows. And I got on stage for one of them and wrote a few jokes that, you know, were relevant to what was going on. And I remember feeling that laughter and just thinking to myself, this is definitely something that I can't not only leave behind, but I need it right now. And I had a lot of conversations with Norm at great length about, you know, pursuing on through all of this. And, you know, he was really instrumental in one of the people who were like, you need to keep doing this. Yeah. It's a safe place when you're on stage, you know, it's your solace. It's what you need. And I'm glad I took his advice.
Yeah. I'm glad comedy could be there for you. I mean, it is a thing that, you know, nothing better than a room of people laughing at something you said, having that control over them, having that feedback.
I've always said comedy is, you know, distilled down, comedy is nothing more than making a human connection. And, you know, I'm talking about cancer on stage now and things like that. And I've found it's been a good catalyst to peel back another layer of my comedy and be able to connect with audience members on a different level than I've been able to in the past. You know, not everyone's in our situation, but the vast majority of people have been impacted by loss, by grief, by cancer, things like that. And, you know, if you can and shed some light on that in a warm-hearted way, I think that is about as good as it gets when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, I was reading something you wrote on Instagram before the show last week about going to your show and just crying, reading your thing before I even talked to you today.
Yeah.
You know, getting back on stage like you did last week with Charlie Wahlberg show and stuff. And that was very moving.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, my wife and I are both people who kind of process everything publicly. So, you know, we have leaned on our community throughout all of this, and it's actually been helpful for me to kind of share my feelings with the world and be very transparent in all of that. It definitely, it's been therapeutic, actually.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. I mean, words are very moving, and of course, you know, hearing your voice, I saw you and your wife a few weeks ago at the club just watching the show. That was cool to see you guys get out and have a good time.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was like our first date night since like 1998, I think. And it was good to be out.
Well, tell everybody about who's on this show. Usually I run down the lineup, but I know this is a special one, so you get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the beautiful thing about this. I was kind of able to handpick and curate who I wanted to be on stage with me. And so I have Camila Bellario emceeing it. Camila has always been one of my closest friends in comedy since she started. I was fortunate enough to MC her first time on stage ever at the Castle.
Yeah.
And we've been close friends ever since. I have Adam Deggy as the feature. Adam is someone who, you know, for the first 7-8 years of my comedy career, for whatever reason, our paths never crossed.
Oh, really?
And then we did an out-of-town show probably a year or two ago, and then started talking throughout all of that. And Adam, aside from him, in my opinion, being, you know, one of the greatest comics in Michigan.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll second that opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So aside from that, I mean, he is also, you know, someone who has personally been impacted by cancer, someone who is, you know, currently battling cancer as well. And, you know, it just felt right to have him on the show. I certainly haven't made it easy for myself as a headliner, you know, most people,
two
very good openers. It's kind of, you know, most people like to put the best person last. I'm kind of doing that reverse order here. And then also, I have Drew Canada. I'm not sure if you've met him.
I've met Drew many times. Big fan of Drew Canada. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. So he's going to do a guest spot as well. Drew is someone I met through comedy right when he started, but coincidentally, I had known his brother. We used to play on a co-ed kickball team.
Oh, okay.
And his brother was on the kickball team with us for a long time. And when I found out Drew was doing comedy, you know, I thought that was fantastic. And it just felt like perfect to have him on the show as well. So I'm very excited about the lineup. You know how, you know, when you have a great dynamic in the green room, that all feeds into the show.
Right.
And I really believe that will happen on Thursday night.
Yeah, I know. It's one of these things too, where, you know, we do this show, and then there's a purpose to this show, and that is to promote and sell tickets for the upcoming shows at the Comedy Castle. We probably would have been better off doing the show 3 months ago or something.
Yeah.
Because the show is sold out, and we want to let people know that, although you can always check on comedycastle.com or call the club if you're interested in tickets. I know one of my comic friends had some tickets they couldn't go, and they were giving them away, and I sort of retweeted that or reposted that and said, get these tickets, people. Come on. This is the hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, I've had a handful of people mention that they're not able to make it. So don't, if you really, truly want to go, don't give up. There's probably a good chance you may be able to find a ticket.
Well, we know, I don't know what percentage of people are going to be comics in the crowd, but you know that the comedy community is rallying around you. And I know that they have bought a lot of the tickets for this show as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's like unbelievably touching to me. I think one of the things I love most about comedy is just having that community of people. And, you know, it means the world to me that they are not only supporting me, but our family. And, you know, hopefully they're still entertained by my act.
They want the jokes. So we're getting the jokes. We're getting, you in the supermarket dancing, right? We're getting that one. Yeah. I hope I'm not giving anything away. That was your promo at the club for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And, that's one of my favorite bits that you do. But you're a talented guy, man. You're a great comic. And I'm glad that, you know, the dream of doing the Comedy Castle will fulfill that to some degree this week, you know, not under the greatest circumstance, but, you know, I think there'll be many more weekends to come for you at our club. And
yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's the dream. And, especially, I got nothing else right now, income wise. So I got to make it work.
Do it. We'll do it this week. Right? We're sold out. And also just to wrap it up, cause I think it actually kind of all, you know, I mean, coincidentally ties together, but one of the people that has really been a part of Ryder's journey here and what he's going through and very supportive is Aiden Hutchinson of the Detroit Lions. Of course, they got their playoff game Saturday night. I mean, tell a little about what's been going on with Aiden and his support, because I've been following it and it's just been terrific.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know the Hutchinsons or anything prior to this, but it's always been a passion of theirs, visiting kids at Mott Children's Hospital. So we initially met Aiden in November of last year. It was really only like maybe 3 weeks after Ryder was diagnosed. Mm. And the family has been well aware of the diagnosis of DIPG. They partner with the Chad Tuff Foundation, which is, I don't know if you remember Lloyd Carr, the former U of M football coach. Yep. His grandson had the same diagnosis. And Tammy Carr, his mom, started the Chad Tuff organization, which really springboarded U of M Mott as being one of the, you know, premier research hospitals for DIPG in the country. And the Hutchinsons have always been highly involved with that. So they came and met, you know, Ryder in November. We thought it was just going to be a quick, like, pop-in visit. Yeah. They ended up spending, you know, about an hour and a half with our family. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, ever since then, we've been in touch with them. They invited us out this summer. Aiden was golfing in the Rocket Mortgage PGA Classic, like, as a pro-am thing. Mm-hmm. And they invited us out to the golf course to hang out with them there. And then recently, we were invited to attend the Buffalo Bills game in their suite, which was great.
Yeah,
not a good outcome to that game, but it was amazing. Yep. And you know, with Aiden's injury, He was able to be in the suite with us. And that kind of, you know, that's been one thing that I know personally, Aiden gets very motivated with the children he works with, and seeing them, you know, their grit and their struggles and rising above all of that. And I know personally in his own recovery, he has used that as a source of inspiration. So Ryder and Aiden have, you know, gone back and forth for the last few months after he's got injured, just kind of sharing what those feelings have been like to lose all of your abilities in an instant. This past Wednesday, we met with the family again because they're doing a documentary on Aiden called The Comeback. And they had a little sit down interview with Ryder and Aiden where they kind of shared all those feelings of what it's like to have a plan in life and then have that, you know, come crumbling down in an instant, but still have to pivot and keep a positive outlook. So we are incredibly fortunate to be involved with them. And they, I can't say enough good things about them. They are the most genuine, authentic family. And every ounce of success that guy has, he 100% deserves.
Yeah, yeah. That's just terrific. I mean, to have that, make that connection and not to be some phony Hollywood thing and photo op. It's real to him. And I know that means a lot to you. I know it means a lot to Ryder and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you have a hero that you, you know, that you look up to so much and your hero can empathize with the feelings that you're feeling, that is incredibly powerful.
Well, Tim, I don't know. I've been fading my microphone down because I've been crying. So I don't know. Hopefully I didn't bring on tears for you. I know you've cried enough where you don't have to cry talking to me. I mean, this show is, you know, I know is important to you. It's important to everybody in comedy, and everybody at the Comedy Castle loves you so much and is rooting for Ryder and the whole thing. So, again, we don't know if there's tickets, but, I mean, I thought this story needed to be told, and I'm glad you could join me today.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Joel.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to get out of here? I mean, I'm...
I'll bring you some tissues.
Yeah,
believe
me.
Thursday.
I think I was unprepared when I sat down to record. I had a little napkin left over from lunch, and I'm using that.
Oh, there you go.
That's something. Tim, you know, just you're one of the real, real good guys in comedy. You were one of my best students however many years ago I taught you. And since then, you've really shown yourself to be a top flight talent and a class guy. And, you know, I'm happy for you having success in comedy, but also really rooting for your family and hoping everything turns out as good as it can.
Thank you so much. That truly means the world to us.
Tim. All right, let's get out of here. We'll see you Thursday. Get ready. Start all buffing right up those jokes.
Will do. Thanks so much, Tim.
Later, Tim. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I don't know if, you know, so moving, Tim. And that thing that he wrote on his Instagram, please go check that out. It was just a few paragraphs. My plan was to sort of read that back to him, but I couldn't do it justice. Just read it. And understand that this guy is going through as bad a thing as a human being could probably go through, and he's doing it with dignity, grace, and still being funny on stage. This is one of the shows that man, I haven't been excited for this show in a real long time, and I was happy to have him on the show and tell his story. He's been on the show before, but not since Ryder's diagnosis. And of course, we hope the best for Ryder, the whole family. And, you know, if you don't have a ticket, hopefully something will open up. You can hit me up. I don't think I can help you. But instead, maybe go to comedycastle.com. As I said, there was one ticket available as I made this recording. That may disappear. There may be other things that open up. There was a comedian, Kathy Ryan, who was unable to attend, and she was trying to move 4 tickets last night. I don't know how that went. But yeah, it's a big night for Tim, and it's a big night for us. We love you, Tim, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep being a great dad. Keep being an advocate for treatment of this disease that Ryder has, and keep being a great comedian. You know, comedy needs good people. It does. You know, there's people in this business that aren't, you know, that are low character people. Let's put it to you that way. And, you know, we need more high character people in this business. Tim's one of those. Anyway, let's get out of here, guys. I want to thank you for listening to this show. It was a tough one to do, but I really think Tim is a guy that you should all know. If you don't make it to the show, he'll be around. He'll be headlining again someday. Please go and donate to the GoFundMe for Ryder Finkel. It's Ryder Finkel's Journey. It's on GoFundMe. There'll be a link for you at comedycastlepodcast.com. You can click on the link for this show, show number 213, and you can get that there. Of course, the show, let's just plug this little thing. The show is now available on YouTube. So if you want to catch the show on YouTube, if that's easier for you, if you have that YouTube Music thing for your podcast, which is a cool app to download and listen to podcasts, you can do that there. Of course, you can listen on Spotify. You can listen on Apple's podcasting platform as well. And of course, right on our website, if you'd like to do that. But now we have it on YouTube, so it's really cool. So go get that one. Subscribe to it. Do the whole thing. You'll see a link to it over on comedycastlepodcast.com. Thank you for listening to this show. I want to thank you guys for supporting the show. I want to support you guys. Thank you guys for coming out. My advanced comedy class sold out. I plug that thing every week. We started last week. We got some great people in there, and we sold it out. So thanks to you guys for doing that for me. And we're just going to keep on making great shows for you. It's a big weekend at the club. Ryan Davis, super funny, Friday, Saturday. And, of course, Tim on Thursday. Go Lions. Hey, if you're not coming out because of the Lions, I get it. Come Friday. Come see Ryan. Come see Tim on Thursday if you can get in. If you've already bought your tickets, you're really going to see something special on Thursday night. Great lineup with Deggy and Camila Bellario, another one of my students who's awesome. Love Camila. Love her act. She's a great person. Great weekend. Thank you for listening. Let's get out of here. Thanks for listening. Again, I can't stop thanking you. I'm very grateful today. When you hear his Tim story, you get grateful. I'm grateful for you for listening. Bye-bye.